Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. In this Friday's teaching, Bishop Dag will cause you to assess yourself on whether you are doing the work of the ministry with the right heart and a genuine love for God and his people. You will learn from today's message why anything less than loving God with all your heart and your might is not sufficient. Christianity is supposed to be completely immersed in love, and to be a minister, you must not only love God, but love his word also. Find out from today's teaching why everything you do for the kingdom of God must be based on love.
Romans 1. Tonight, we read Romans 1. It says, "For I long to see you, that I might impart some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established." Amen.
Amen.
Well, we started out by talking about imparting and receiving impartations. And I believe that we are still on that course. Amen.
Amen.
Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Now, when it comes to God and his word, right, and receiving anything from the Lord, there is something that I know the average charismatic does not know about or dwell upon much. And I don't blame you, because it doesn't sound very powerful. So tonight my message is entitled Longing is part of loving. All right? Or another title you could give it is Longing and Loving. All right? Now, how many want to be blessed by the Lord, receive some blessing? We want it, don't we? Great. But it says, "I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established." Now, the apostle was longing to see the church members. Amen.
Amen.
And through his longing, he was thinking of what he was going to give them. Is that not so? Now, longing is part of loving.
Amen.
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 Say it with me. Longing,
longing
is part
of loving.
Amen. Philippians, turn with me, chapter 1. It says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Amen.
Amen.
"And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Longing is part of loving.
Amen.
When you long for someone, you love the person.
Amen.
So when Paul said, "I long to see you," he was saying, in a way, or in a sense, "I love these people so much that I am longing to see them." Are you listening?
Yes.
I've almost finished preaching, so in case you wanted to sleep, you can get ready to start sleeping soon. Amen.
Amen.
Long game is part of loving.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. All the work we are doing, all the work we are doing is done through, by, in, with love.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've almost finished, so you can get ready to stop. Do you get me?
Yes.
All the work we are doing is done by, in, through, with, for, through, by love.
Yeah.
Faith works by love.
Preach.
Amen. God is love. So, Paul loved the people.
Amen.
And then he wanted to see them,
yeah,
to impart. Unfortunately, there are some little children here, but you can listen to what I'm saying. That if a husband has not seen his wife for some time, or, well, whatever, they are not married, he longs to see her.
Preach.
Do you understand? Do you understand? One of the natural things that happens is that he imparts something to her. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Is it difficult to understand? Sometimes when I give these examples, I don't know whether people don't like what I'm saying. Huh? I shouldn't say these ones. Now, what you'll find out is that the Bible says that for this cause a man shall leave his wife, his mother, join to his wife, they shall be one. This is a great mystery. You see, it's a mystery. Marriage is actually a great mystery. A marriage is supposed to reveal some secrets to us. Things that we search for. They are found by understanding the mystery of marriage.
Wow.
Fruitfulness. You see, when I preach some of these things, I think some people feel maybe I don't have any other example, or maybe they feel, I don't know, maybe I'm a doctor, so certain examples come to me. But the Bible says it's a mystery. Are you there? Are you there? It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Meanwhile, he's talking about a man shall leave his father and mother and they shall be joined, blah, blah, blah. You see, so marriage has a lot of revelation.
Amen.
In it. Fruitfulness is, for you to be fruitful, is caused by walking in a type of marriage.
Amen.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you understood what you see when you see marriage, you would realize that fruitfulness, real fruitfulness, is caused by a kind of marriage, because it's marriage that brings forth children.
Yeah.
Once I preached a message, together we can make children. People thought I was being vulgar. But I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. It's a mystery. The mystery of fruitfulness. The reason why some of us are not fruitful at all is because we have not married spiritually with something. With someone, or with a certain anointing, or with a gift. That's why we have not married it. We've shaken hands with it. We've waved at it. We've sympathized with it. We've said, hello. We said, I believe in you. We planted a seed in it, but we didn't marry it. So we don't bear fruit. It's mysterious. I've almost finished preaching.
We are blessed.
Yeah. And Paul, you know, was just starting as number 3 or 4, or after number 2, if you like, in the chain of lovers. There is a chain of lovers in the Bible. Lover after lover after lover, then it goes down. Paul is just, if you like, we could even say number 3. The first lover is gone. God so loved. Wow. Loved so much. Wow. The great God.
Come on now.
There's no God like God.
Yeah.
The greatest God. So loved with the greatest love.
Wow.
The world. The greatest number of people that you can love.
Wow.
That he gave. The greatest gift. His only begotten son.
Yeah.
The greatest person.
Wow.
That whosoever, the greatest invitation.
Yeah.
I mean,
open.
Not just your old boys and your old girls from your old school. Whosoever, the greatest invitation. Believer, the greatest simplicity. Simple. The greatest simplicity. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, the greatest escape. But in everlasting life, the greatest destination. That's John 3:16. You can preach on it for 4 years. You'll never get finished. Give the Lord a shout of praise. God so loved, or loved so much. Greatest God, the greatest love. The world, greatest number of people. That he gave the greatest gift, his only begotten son, the greatest person that exists, that whosoever. The greatest invitation, not just to your friends and to Jews, whosoever believeth. The Bible says, lest Satan through his craftiness beguile you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Very simple to walk with God. We have made it complete. Satan's strategy is confusion through complications. That's why witchcraft involves certain patterns, do this, yeah, do that, yeah, yeah. Come again, yeah. Come here, mix up the data. Witchcraft is confusion. But the simplicity that is in Christ, believe, whosoever believes in him should not perish, the greatest escape, but have everlasting life, the greatest destination. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. So the chain of lovers starts with the great God,
Hallelujah.
Who loved with the greatest kind of love.
Greatest lover.
Then his son came, the one who was given. And then he also said, greater love hath no man than this love, the love that I have.
Yeah.
Nobody has greater love than the love than this.
That's true.
That a man should lay down his life,
yeah,
for his friends. Greater love. I mean, as he was going to do, he said that there's no greater love than the love that I'm about to demonstrate. I have love. Do you see?
Yeah.
Then comes Apostle Paul. And Paul says, I long. But he also said, in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, the love of Christ constraineth me. God's love is what is driving me. I'm driven by love. I'm not driven by money. I'm not driven by the motive to have a good name or a great name. I'm driven by love.
Amen.
And that's why he would write such things. You wonder, what kind of relationship does he have with this? I long after you.
I long, God is my record, how I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I mean, he wrote it. I long. Yeah, I mean, unless you don't believe it. Unless you don't believe it, you think that it's just poetry.
I believe.
Long ago, I said that I realized I never think that the Bible is poetry. The Bible is not a poem. It's not a list of poems and a list of kind of literature that you must memorize. It means what it says. I long after you. And Paul said, I long to see you. I'm having this same feeling of love. Let me just simplify my message because I think this is what the Lord wants me to share with you today. Listen to me. Without this corresponding love, you never meet the great God who is coming to you through the greatest Son with his great love. And unless you have a corresponding love, do you see, you never get to the place where you can meet and interact.
Wow.
To the point where that exchange and impartation takes place. I long to see you that I may impart. Husband will say to wife. Sometimes a husband will call a wife.
Yeah.
I long to see you. I miss you. Oh, he's thinking about something.
Yeah.
Don't think that he's thinking about whatever. He's thinking about one thing. An impartation. Zigzag. It's a very good message. I know that's a good message.
Preach it. Preach it.
It's a good message.
I'll
give you another secret.
Powerful.
What do you think?
Oh,
is it a good message?
Yes.
I long to see you that I may impart.
That's it.
Anybody who wants to do God's work needs to have only one thing in your heart. You need to love. Any other motive is too little for this great gift that wants to come. And you need to love God. You need to love his people. You need to love what he is doing. You need to love him. Amen.
Amen.
2 Chronicles. Chapter 25. I want to share a verse with you. Amazia. Everybody say Amazia. I don't think it's a good name, but anyway. Amazia was 20 and 5 years old. Have you found 2 Chronicles chapter 25?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You see, what I'm preaching here, I'm preaching to pastors. Even though you may not be a pastor, somehow you get something from it.
Yes.
Alright? And ministers and people who want to be ministers. And anybody who loves the Lord. It's also a message for you. In other words, you can receive. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoram of Jerusalem. Alright? Are you there?
Yes.
Have you found it? Are you with me?
Yes.
Isn't it boring to read about these kings?
No.
Mm-hmm. But verse 2 is not as boring. Because it says, and he did that which was wrong.
No.
He did that which was evil. He did visitation, isn't it? And prayer. And counseling and all the good things, isn't it? Is that not the right thing? Was it not the right thing to do that? And preaching and all the right thing, isn't it? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But. When you hear the word but, it's canceling the one which was before. He gave offerings. He gave money. He gave his time. He did prayer. He was in the church. He became a shepherd. But not with a perfect heart. Or not with the right heart. So you see, Pastor Johnny, you can do a lot of good things, but not with the right heart. You can go around preaching, but not with the right heart. You can go around doing visitation, but not with the right heart. You can become a pastor, but not with the right hand. You can do the work of God, but not with the right heart. With. You'll be doing it. You'll be doing the right thing, but not with the right heart. You are doing everything that is correct when they see you. Correct, 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 correct. But not with the right or correct heart. This is a problem with many of our pastors. That's why I say I'm preaching to pastors, and surprisingly, these impartation services are turning to be something like mid-course corrections.
Okay.
God is trying to give us mid-course corrections and adjustments that we need to make in our lives. You may be doing the right thing, but you are not doing it with the right heart. That's why there are many preachers, but are we preachers with the right heart? I've almost finished preaching. Can you even close your Bibles?
Preach.
What is the right heart? What is this right heart? Let me tell you something. There is only one right heart.
Preach, Bishop.
And that right heart is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And anything less than this love, it's not enough to serve God properly. I'm telling you, whether you are a lay person, whether you are a full-time person, whether you are whatever, that love of that heart of love, that right heart, where you love God and you love Him so much that you love His people. Now, let me tell you, you can love His work. You see, His work is also exhilarating. His work is exciting. You know, when you do the work of God, it's exciting. You see, when you do the work of God at a point, the work itself is nice.
Yeah.
Especially when it starts to work.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? When it's not working, it's not nice. But when it starts working, it becomes exciting. It's nice to be in something that is moving and something that is working. No doubt about it. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. It's thrilling. It is fulfilling. It is satisfying. It is pleasurable. It is enjoyable. It is intoxicating. It is exciting. It is all these things. I mean, I enjoy preaching. I can't lie to you. I don't think that I don't enjoy preaching. You get it. There was a time I didn't enjoy preaching. When I had an orangu in my chest. You know, whenever I came to church, I was trembling. My mic was shaking. Because he was there. And he had been having meetings with people about my preaching. Whether I was called and whether I was not called. And I was trembling in the church. I used to have running stomach on Saturdays. I called my beloved and I told her, is this what will happen to me every Saturday till I die? Because I was going to be a pastor and I started a church. So is this what's going to happen to me till I die? Running stomach every Saturday? I thought that was how it would be. But by the grace of God, the running stomach stopped after a while. And my shaking and trembling stopped. And I also sucked the orangu and then I became free. Zigzag. So at a point you begin to enjoy. So you can actually love the work and not love Him.
Preach, Bishop. We need it. Preach.
Yeah. You can love the work, but you don't love Him. Yeah. And sometimes when you work for God, you can become prosperous through the work.
Yeah.
You can become blessed through the work. So you can actually love the prosperity that comes through His work. There is no doubt one of the things that they criticize ministers about is the fact that they seem to have nice cars, they drive around and so on. I said, yeah, I was interviewed in Takoradi, and they were asking why ministers have nice cars. I said, anybody who thinks a pastor shouldn't have a nice car needs his head examined. That's what I told them in the radio. And the guy was shocked. I said, yeah, examine your head. Why should you drive a good car? So sometimes you have other benefits. You understand what I'm saying? And so at the point, you begin to enjoy the benefits. You enjoy the blessings that come by doing His work, but you don't love Him. It happens all the time. And so we need to understand that the main feeling and motive and flow that you must have is love.
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
So you must love him. And then when you are dealing with the people, you must love the people.
Amen.
You have to love the people. Otherwise, you can never even understand them. You cannot have patience to minister to people if you don't love people. You see, every direction, there must be love. When it comes to God, you must love. When it comes to the people, you must love. When it comes to his servants who carries an anointing, you have to love the person also. Because Jesus said, he that receives you, receives you. What they do to you is what they do to me. When Saul was beating the Christians, and he said, who are you? He said, I'm Christ. Who are thou persecutest? I'm the one you are persecuting. I'm the one. So what you are doing to these people is what you are doing to Christ. That's why you have to love the people. You have to love the servants. One time, Papa Hagin said there was someone who was criticizing him. All right? And then in the end, the Lord appeared to the person, or a vision or something happened. And then the Lord rebuked the person and said, go and ask my friend Kenneth Hagin this and that, and he will tell you. And he said, the Lord called him my friend.
Wow.
You can ask my friend Kenneth Hagin. So, what you are doing to that person, you are doing it to him, even to congregation members. Then when it comes to the anointing or the gift, there is no other. You see, I'm just trying to show you that in the church and the house of God, there's only one feeling, if you like, only one emotion, only one accepted attitude, flow. What, I don't know what word we can use to describe it. It's love and only. Without a passionate love for the anointing, you will never be anointed. I don't want to lie to you.
Yeah.
You have to actually love it. And how can you love the anointing when you don't love the anointed? How? He said that as many as received him, to them he gave power to become. You've got to receive the person. And when you receive the person, you will be given power to become something. But you see, I'm talking about something that Christianity is meant to be completely immersed in love. And I'm saying this because it's something that I have seen. I've seen that to be a good pastor, you must actually love the people. To preach well, you must actually love the people.
Hallelujah.
To preach at a crusade, you must actually love the lost.
Amen.
To preach. One day I was preaching after some visitors came down, and somebody was saying, you know, you remind me of Rod Parsley. And they said, you remind me of this person. And then I was asking the person, I said, what is it? And they said, oh, you seem to be emotionally stirred up about what you are saying. I mean, you seem to be passionate, and I don't know whether it's whatever. And I was looking at the person, I was wondering, how do you want me to say it? You want me to come and read sermons to you? I prefer a politician who will not read a speech any day. Because I wasn't born on Friday. The speeches are written by speech writers in the castle, and you come and read it to me. I might as well go to sleep to read what some girl somewhere is writing in the office and give to you to come. And the first time you see it is when you are on the stage and you open the thing and it's been typed for you to read. It's never what you are saying. Come on. I prefer to listen to President Rawlings talking anything, just saying things. Hey, where is Mr. Mensah? This and that. You see, you, last time, I prefer to hear that than to listen to some speech written by a girl in the castle.
Preach!
Oh, yeah. Even if I don't support it, I prefer to listen to that than to read some speech written to them. You haven't seen reading sermons before. I can read a sermon to you. You will not be happy here again. And I read my sermon to you now. You'll be yawning. Until you are gone. To be a minister, you must love the word. You must love the word. I'm finishing very early today. Last passage, Ephesians. Because, you know, I don't want to preach for long, but I don't want to emphasize it. You've got to listen to the tape over and over. Otherwise, you won't understand it. Okay. Are you there? Okay. Ephesians 3, verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto Jesus. Verse 15. Of whom the whole family is named. Okay. Now, he begins to pray for the Ephesians. That he would grant you, by the, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. How many want to be strengthened? Very good. Verse 17. That Christ may do what? Dwell in your hearts by faith. That you be rooted and grounded in love. You see, first of all, he's asking you to be rooted, grounded in love. It means that everything you do is based on and sitting on and living on love. Your desire for the anointing should be because of some love. Your desire for the anointing should be, you know, most of the people who became healing ministers were sick before.
Okay.
And they were dying. And so they got healed and they knew what it was. So they had a passion for the sick. Do you see? And they were filled with compassion or with love for sick people. Do you understand? And they know what it was. So they became, you know, they were driven by a certain passion for these things. You know, if you don't have a love for it, please stay away from it and pray for love. Pray to be rooted and grounded. If you're going to work for God full time, you must love. It's not easy. God doesn't promise you a bag of roses. Yes, if you want to work for him, you must love him so much that you want to work for him. Yes. And you must love him more than you love achievement and fame and name and claim and money. You really must. You really must. Wow. You must love him so much that you are prepared to be anywhere and to live anywhere, to do anything. You must love him.
Preach.
Not just, you just, if they will give you this, then you do that. If they will give you this, if you have this, then you do that. You must love God. Because he loved you unconditionally. The great God so loved the world. The God, the great God loved the world with the greatest kind of love that he gave. Nothing less than his only begotten son. How? And Jesus himself stood and said, greater love, as he was walking, he told the people, greater love has no man than this thing you see me doing. John 15, he said, no greater love has no man than this love. I have, I'm full of love. When they beat him and they put him on the cross, he looked at the people with compassion and he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know. Today I will explain to you why Jesus said they don't know. Why? They don't know what they do. I'll explain it to you. I'll show you in the Bible why. Be rooted. Much of us, our desire, you see, our desire and our interest is transient. It's fleeting. It's passing. That's why we never become anointed. Let me tell you. Read the stories. You see, even the fact that you don't have a love for the thing shows in your attitude to reading, shows in your attitude to anything that is hard. Anything that is hard, you leave. If it comes as far as anointing, if it's hard, you leave it. If it's easy, like coming forward to be hands laid, have hands laid on you, that one, the NLF, Coco, easy. But anything that involves some effort, and so sometimes, how I see what somebody really loves. You know, sometimes I can see why someone cannot have a ministry like, let's say, the ministry that Reverend Eastwood has or some other people. Because you can see that they don't really love the anointing or love God or love his work to that extent. They love something else. You see somebody going to school for 25 years. No, I know somebody who went to medical school for 25 years. I mean, medical school, this degree, that degree, this degree, whatever. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, so how many degrees do you have? He said, oh, I have whatever. So, I mean, initially I was just joking, but I realized that my joke was becoming a serious thing. So I said, oh, you have BSc. So I have BSc. I said, what other degrees? So I have CIMA, you know, Chartered Institute of Marketing Accountants. And then I said, then what else do you have? I said, well, I have ACCA, what do you call it, of Chartered Accountants. And I said, what else do you have? So I have MBA in whatever. I said, wow. Years and years of study. Years and years of being a student. Years of having a low income. You know, the passion we have, nobody is sending you. You are more qualified, overqualified. You are a chartered accountant, chartered marketing, chartered and first degree. You are an MBA. I mean, what else? It's only PhD you don't have. Hey! It's going for it. And it's good, but I want you to see that it's what you love. That you will go towards in a way. I long. You see, there was something in Paul that was bursting out of him. It was going to go out of him. Just like when a husband is longing for the wife, and he gets to the wife, and then he's able to release with energy, with zeal, with pride and sprint. You understand? He's able to spit out his love in few certain moments. He's love. Able to impact.
It's a very nice message,
Father. Look, it's a good message. That you said. But if you don't love the people, if you don't love the people, even you're preaching, you don't have anything to give. What you are giving is a dry recitation. It's a dry message. It's a dry speech. You don't really care for the people. When I preach to people that are sinners, I preach with my heart. I sing. Look, I will say anything. That when I finish preaching it, I get to a point and I say, what else should I say? You know, what else can I say and should I say that will make you come to Jesus Christ tonight? What else can I say? When I preach to Christians, I try. When I counsel people in their marriage, I try so hard to give what I know, to share with them. Oh, with that love, you can never be a real, true minister imparting anything. You don't impart. You are just reciting, minakeinke. I'll tell you this story because some of you have not yet heard it. One day I went somewhere and this man was telling us that he had a quarrel with his wife because his wife was not there and he had gotten rid of her. So after he gotten rid of her, he was asked about his wife. He said, yeah, we went for a family meeting and they were there and they talked and everybody talked to the wife and to the husband and so on. And they talked to the wife. In the end, they told the wife, get up and apologize to your husband and apologize to the other people. So she got up and they were sitting in a circle and she went to the husband. And when she got to the husband, she just stretched out her hand and she said, she had even forgotten what was she was supposed to say. So she just turned around and said, I mean, I can't care. This is like, what did they say I should say to them? What did they say I should say? Sorry for what happened yesterday and sorry for last week. Me not care. What did they say I should say?
Forgive.
Ziza.
Zagaligi.
So that is not a genuine, that kind of sorry cannot cause healing. Because it is a what did they say I should say kind of sorry. But when you come with your heart and you say, I'm sorry, forgive me, and you kneel down, and you hug the person, or you kneel down, you hold the person, I'm sorry, I'm a bad person. I'm a sinner. Not that I am a sinner that you are reciting, because that I am bad for you. Not that I am bad, but I am some way. But this is, they have become like, you know, phrases and some pens. Forgive, mercy. The new one is not an apology. Forgive, mercy, mercy. Longing is part of life. And Paul was just demonstrating that, look, the love in me is so much that the gift, you know, a person has petty out of me. Yeah, that's right. Now, what say, gift, you know, or a person, or, ejaculate out of me. Nothing further can be added to it. It's complete. No. No. No.
That's it. Now you can take out your offering.
I long to see.
I long.
Longing is part of loving. And Paul said we should be rooted. And that's his prayer. And I can see that most of us are not rooted in love for God. We love so many other things. That's why we don't meet with the anointing when it is coming. Because it's only the two lovers that will meet. I say it's a chain of lovers. Ministers are lovers. They love God, they love his work, they love him, they love his calling, they love the people. I realize that I love Ghanaians. Sometimes I look at people on television and then I feel something in my heart. Sometimes I just listen, sometimes they'll be speaking. I understand to a point I don't understand, but I realize that I like the people. And I sense it within me. It's like a calling and an interest and a love that God gives you, you understand, for what you are being called to do. You can't look after people unless you love them. I'm telling you. Yeah. And so, Paul said we must be rooted. This is what we are not rooted in. We are rooted in a love for something else. I told you I've almost finished. It goes on and he says, where is it? That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. That's all. Look at me, everybody. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Because now we need love, even the breadth of the anointing. Because you don't love the anointing, even the breadth of the anointing, before we even come to the length of the anointing. Wow. You won't even see it. The short part, the breadth, you won't even see it. And the length. And then the deeper, the depth of the anointing. Who's that depth of anointing? Now how much more the height of the giftings? How much more the higher things of the anointing? How will you see it? When you see somebody like Reverend Eastwood Anama preaching, you can see that he loves something that he's doing. He has a love and a feeling and a passion. It's not something that he's just doing. That's why you can hardly control him when he starts to preach. Even when he's not well and himself comes. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And he has been told to preach for a short time by his wife or by people who are saying, look, preach for a short time because we are coming back in the evening. When he starts, the feeling, it's like he wants to say, there is a passion, there is a love spitting of something that just comes out of the person. I'm telling you. And I'm trying to share with you something. Look, God wants to give you his love and and his gift and his anointing. But you must love it more than you love anything else.
Amen.
You must desire it more than you love anything else. Now, when I watch people who don't really love it, I also stop trying to make efforts for them because I can see you, what you love is this. I will not create false things for you to walk in that are not real, only for the thing to collapse later. Because that's not really what you love.
Wow.
How can you see the length of God when you don't love God? You will know just a small part of God, superficially. When you are supposed to know God, his length, the depth, he said that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to know or comprehend with all the saints what the is breath. The length and the depth, the breadth, the high things of God. When you don't love the people that God has sent you to, how can you understand them? You will not even understand them to have even patience for these people. Because you don't even know the breadth and the length of the people that you have been sent to because you don't love them. You will always misunderstand them and you always misinterpret what they think and you will always have confusion because you don't love them. When you don't love somebody, you will always quarrel with the person.
Yeah.
But when you understand somebody, that is why Jesus said, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Because he loved them. He was pulled by love. He said, greater love has no man than this. No one has a greater kind of love than the love that is. And God so loved the world that he gave his only son. What greater love is there than these two loves?
Wow.
You cannot understand what somebody is saying. If God sends a man of God to you and you don't love him, you will never even know the breadth of his life or the length, nor the deep parts of him and the heights of his life and of everything that makes up the person and the gift of God that is in the person. You will always be seeing from afar. You will never know it properly. What you need to know, what you need to understand, you will never understand it because it's love that draws you closer to see. And when you see, even when you see the weakness, you will understand how the grace of God overcomes this weakness. The weakness will not turn you away. It will rather encourage you that look at the weakness and look at how the grace of God is there. Oh yes. When you love somebody, you will, your eyes open wider, but they're opening the way. You see that look, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able with all the saints to comprehend what is the breadth. How will you understand the breadth of Ben-Hin? You just look at Ben-Hin and say, oh, this man is mystical. Mystical. Ooh, you are the Lord that healed me. I heard somebody, a pastor, talking like that. He says, Ben-Hin, mystical preaches. It's only the entire say, mystical preaches. Mystical preaching. Because you don't love it. You just look at it superficially and discard it. You just look at me superficially and say, oh, this man, all I preach is loyalty. They're coming for loyalty seminar. How can you know the real secret behind the things? Because your eyes are not filled with love to know the breadth of the thing and the length of the thing, the deeper parts that are hidden to all men, and then the heights and the glories of the things coming from you because you are not filled with love to be attracted and drawn towards what God wants to give you, because God is attracted to you to come to you with the greatest gift of all, but you don't have love for him. That's why the first command, thou shalt love God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It's God you must love. That's why even his work must not come between you and him. Because you can love his work, but don't love him. You don't know it. That's why we don't get anointed. That's why we don't come in contact with that spirit of grace that comes our way. Because we are dodging and we are loving this and the anointing is passing here. You don't even understand the person. When the person speaks, you become offended. Because you are not rooted in love. If you were rooted in love, you would never be offended. You'd rather see that, hey, the man cares for me. He didn't look at me. You immediately understand. You understand a person. Confusion is rooted in the absence of love. Confusion. And as soon as confusion becomes between us, we start separating.
That's it.
And the last one is there. That you may know the length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Love is superior to knowledge. Many of our pastors just have knowledge, but they don't have love. Love which surpasses knowledge. It passes knowledge by far. A person who loves and a person who just knows scriptures, there's a difference. Get somebody who loves Ghana and even doesn't know economics and doesn't know whatever and doesn't have a knowledge of whatever, but he just loves Ghana. He would change this whole country. We are often ruled by a group of people who don't love this country. One day my father told me after he went to stand for, he went for election, he came back after that and he said, let me tell you something, my son. Let me tell you, 1992. Anybody who tells you that he's doing this because he loves Ghana, I am telling you, he's lying. He had just come from campaigning and finished election, which they lost. One person, that's why sometimes you may wonder how I choose people to work for me. I don't choose people with qualifications. I don't choose people with whatever. I choose people, the one of the greatest parts is love. If you love me, I'll choose you. And if you love the thing you are doing, I'll choose you. Because you see, it's not your MBA that we use. There are a lot of thieves who have MBA. And liars. If people loved us, we're sitting at the Ministry of Finance and Ministry of whatever for this nation for all these 48 years, Ghana would be, there would be airports in Tamale, airports in Kumasi, airports in Wa, everywhere. There would be flying jets all over. Even Ghana Airways, if there was somebody who loved Ghana, the person would have even taken decisions about this Ghana Airways long ago. But we have people with MBAs, PhDs, aeronautical engineering, whatnot, papers and whatever. They don't really love this nation. They don't really love, because if Ghana Airways were to be sold even to a plane like KLM, how they bought Kenya Airways, Ghana Airways become an international airline and more people will come to the country. More people will come to the nation. Tourism, exports, imports, visitors, everything. We don't love Ghana. You see contrast, 40 million, they'll change it to 50. 10 million will pass somewhere. These are not lovers of the nation. The Bible says in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. Give me a road to build. Not that I want to, but I don't want to go into politics. I will find a lady who will build the road at a cost you will be surprised. A woman, I will say, go and build this road. Who doesn't know anything about building, but who loves the person who has sent her, she will build it. You will be surprised. A woman. Without even one engineering degree.
Yeah.
Once my father had a hotel, and he had these hotel managers, upon hotel managers. At that time, many years, more than 20 years ago, when they go for the, every day, my father goes in the evening to collect the money, or in the morning. When they go, so yesterday we had only one customer. So yesterday we had only two customers. So yesterday nobody came. Like that, the hotel. 15 rooms, the hotel had 15 rooms. Swimming pool, sauna, tennis court, everything. Restaurant. Every day, only one person. One day, something happened and he got angry with the people, sacked all of them. He called me and said, do you have anybody? I said, I've got a friend. I'll bring him. So I brought my friend. Oh, this one is my friend. He's a good Christian. When the person went, you see, from the day before, they were getting something like 5,000. 5,000 a day. When my friend went, the first night he went, 150,000. And it always maintained at the 150,000. Not by paper, love. Not by PhD, love. But by honesty and by love and by Christian behavior. They had the thing multiplied by 10, so that he was having a group of thieves. With degrees, without love.
Without love.
What do you think?
People don't know. Love is a great thing.
Oh.
Love passes knowledge. Love is greater than any degree. Love is greater than any paper qualification. Love is greater than any. If love passes, that you may know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Which passes knowledge. Which passes knowledge. That's why people can go to Bible school and have knowledge and they turn out to be nothing in the ministry. But you have somebody who has a lot of love for God. He has no knowledge and he keeps making mistakes. But because he loves God, he keeps moving forward. Because God says, this man loves me. And then the final thing, which is what we are all looking for, it says that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Huh? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God, which is the anointing. The fullness of God is the anointing. When you have love and you are rooted and grounded in love, which passes knowledge, you start to go to a place where you will now be filled with the anointing. It is lovers of God and lovers of his work and lovers of him who become filled with the fullness of the anointing.
With the fullness.
Yeah. It passes knowledge.
Amen.
It's a very, very good message.
Oh, yes.
And that's why we are not anointed. It's easy to lay hands on you when you don't love the thing. It's the easiest.
Yeah.
This.
Receive.
Receive. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Doesn't mean you've got anything. One day a guy was being ministered. The pastor said, take it. And he said, take what? Take what? May you have the love of God in you.
Amen.
May you be drawn by the love of God.
Amen.
May you join the chain of lovers.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Catherine Kuhlman, she loved the sick people who came to her. She longed for them to be healed. She preached when she was sick.
That's right.
The evangelist, they love, like Bonke, he loves Africa. He says that Africa should be washed with the blood. He goes to Nigeria. Dangerous places, Kaduna, Kano, the Islamic place, has crusade, 1 million people. They will kill his, wanting to kill him. He's having tracks. They have accidents. People have died. Still, he's forcing himself. There's a passion. There's a love which draws the anointing. When you are rooted in it, you will be filled with the fullness of, of God, of the Holy Spirit.
It's good. It's good.
Passes knowledge. Any day, any certificate. Choose somebody who loves you. And God will also only choose somebody who loves him. God sees your heart. I pray that I'll always love him. I pray that I'll love him more than anybody else. I pray that there will not be anything or anybody who will come between me and my love for him. I pray. I pray that I'll never love his work more than I love him.
Yeah.
I pray that I'll never love the excitement and the joy of doing his work than the love that I have for him.
Yeah.
That's why if you listen to me pray, one of the common words that I speak to the Lord is love. I love you. I love you. I love you. Constantly, I'm telling the Lord, I love you. I love you. Because I love him.
Mm.
I tell him, I love you. I love you. I love you because I love him. I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love him. He is the one I love. He died for me. And you see, because I love him, I get to know more about him. I get to know the breadth of Jesus Christ and the understanding, the length and the depth of Christ and what he did for me and the things he said and his words. And I'm going more into him because of my love for Christ Jesus as a person. I find it more marvelous every day. I'm more intrigued by Christ, by his words, by what he did. I can't read my Bible without reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, something that Jesus said or did. I become more amazed and intrigued by him, the depth and the breadth and the length of Christ. When he said on the cross, it's finished. Tetelestai.
Yeah.
I just marveled.
Yeah.
I've done a good job. I can't add anything to what I've done.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing more can be added but love. May you have this great love. May you speak words of love to him. May you love him. Love the Lord. Love your Father. Love Jesus, who loved you with such a great love. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to the Lord and ask the Lord to. Do you love him as he loves you? Ask him. Ask him. Lord, I want to love you more. Lord, I want to love you more. There's a song like that.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.